the Fed has a real problem here in that it can't aggressively and proactively reduce interest rates, given the fact that inflation has been well above its target for 4 years and is rising further away from its target. So how aggressive do you want to get in that scenario? And even if they had the temerity to aggressively cut rates now, what would the long end of the bond market's response be? I think it could be very negative and interest rates could spike. So they have a catch 22, their hands are tied.
Michael Pinto, Pinto Portfolio Strategies. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Andy. Good to see you again.
It's always really good to see you. And I mean that especially right now, because a lot of things to go over and discuss. I really want to talk about, you've been in the, I would say bearish, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, really since for the past 6 to 9 months, thinking recession here. And it looks like we finally started having a break in the markets, if you would, and perhaps a slowdown in economic activity since the start of the year, but a market break since, I would say, February. So comment about that and what are your thoughts?
So let's start with the way I've been managing money. So I was sort of mildly bullish all of last year. I became less bullish in late December. So I took off late December, simply because I just didn't think that when you see the market cap to GDP was 210%. When you have that expensive of a market, pricing in at that time, it was like 15% earnings growth. I just didn't see, based on, I voted for Donald Trump twice, so I'm not getting political here. I'm just saying, based on the idea that Trump would be able to extend the tax cuts of 2018, but not add to them. And then when you add to that tariffs and other liquidity metrics that I look at, I just didn't see it was possible to get 15% earnings in 2025. I just didn't see it would be possible. So I wasn't out. I still am not net negative on the market. I am not short the market. I just said what I said was the upside is very limited. It's just very, very limited. It's not better than the opportunity just to own bonds. So I took a lot of de-risk the portfolio, and owning bonds has been a great ballast to the few longs that I have, along with gold, has managed to actually make us a positive return in Q1. Whereas if you look at things like since mid-February, you see the NASDAQ down almost 20%, the S&P down over 10. So it's been a rough start to the year. So I guess so far I've been right. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I absolutely knew the market was going to crash by 15%. I'm not going to say that because I didn't. I just said that the risk-reward ratio based on negative equity risk premiums favored bonds. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. So talking to my listeners here and viewers here, exactly what Michael said, and I think I mischaracterized our previous discussions. Michael highlighted many, many tripwires, if you would, or roadblocks coming into the market, and highlighted a lot of risk, if you would. And so over the last 6 to 9 months that we've been talking, well, it's been about a year or so since then. So just for clarity's sake. So let's talk about this sell-off here. Then we've had a pretty steep sell-off since February. Was it late January, February? I don't have a chart.
Like February 12th or something like that, the market. Right around mid-February is when it peaked.
Yeah. So again, not that you have this crystal ball, but this is what we do. We project. Is this the start of something? Is stuff going to get ugly? And how are the liquidity indicators that you look at? What are these? Are they signaling anything here?
So if you look at, when you combine it all in the mixer here, you've got tariffs. Mm-hmm. You have a greatly reduced labor force. You know, this is wonderful for long-term prosperity of the United States to know who the heck's coming in our country. But when you shut off the borders, it's just less people working. The rate of change in the second derivative means there's just be less people working. And that's putting downward pressure on GDP growth. But more importantly than all that, that went to my that went into my thinking that we're not going to get 15% earnings growth in 2025. That hockey stick that Wall Street always projects is just not going to happen. But if you look at liquidity measures, like what's going on with the Treasury general account being drained, the reverse repo facility being drained, the level of the real Fed funds rate being positive for 2 years after being negative for most of the last 15 years, profoundly negative at times, bank lending standards tightening, the liquidity metrics are just not there anymore. We've exhausted all of the pandemic, or most of the pandemic stimulus that was $6 trillion that was piled into banks in excess reserves and was, you know, was sloshing around the economy and found itself parked in the reverse repo facility. So we have some liquidity issues that we're dealing with in conjunction with a rapidly deteriorating economy. And the problem, one of the salient problems is, Andy, is I don't think that the Federal Reserve can really rescue come to the rescue. Let's just look at what happened today. This recording is done on Tuesday in the afternoon, late morning, early afternoon. We had the ISM March manufacturing data that came out, which clearly shows that the economy is faltering. If you look at the subcomponents of employment and new orders, the actual headline number was falling further into contraction. But the prices paid component surged. It surged. It's like 69.4 or something like that from 64. So the Fed has a real problem here in that it can't aggressively and proactively reduce interest rates, given the fact that inflation has been well above its target for 4 years and is rising further away from its target. So how aggressive do you want to get in that scenario? And even if they had the temerity to aggressively cut rates now, what would the long end of the bond market's response be? I think it could be very negative and interest rates could spike. So they have a catch 22, their hands are tied. If you put Powell into a corner and said, what do you care most about? Do you care most about inflation rising out of control or a recession / depression? And he would always say, listen, I care most about the economy. I'm going to hold my nose, cut rates. I care much less about inflation because I could always obfuscate around it. I could change the metrics. I could say, well, we're no longer looking at inflation. We're not looking at CPI headline. We're looking at core. Oh no, we're looking at core PCE. Oh no, we're looking at super core. I mean, they could just dance and substitute and dance the way around that. They care most about people being out of work because you can't really lie about that. People know when they don't have a job.
So that really raises the question. I'm agreeing with everything you said. I think the Fed is certainly in a corner, in a box, if you would, entrapped. But what are they going to do? I mean, I am agreeing also. I think what you're alluding to, they're going to have to cut rates. And I would agree with that as well. I don't see any way around that.
They're going to cut. Okay, let's go to the point here. So they're going to cut rates. That's a fact. They're going to cut rates, but they're going to be doing it in arrears. They're going to be doing it ex post. Got my Latin wrong there. They're going to be doing it after the fact. That's what they always do. So did the Fed cut rates in July of 2007? Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Did they continue to cut rates all the way to zero by the end of 2008? Yeah, they did. And did that stop the housing market from crumbling 33% or stocks from faltering 50%? No, it didn't. The Fed cut rates in 2001. They cut from 6.25% down to 1%. Did that stop the NASDAQ from going down 80%? No, it didn't. And did it stop the S&P 500 from falling 50%? No, it didn't. So I don't understand this idea. In fact, I debated somebody about this one a few months ago. Well, the Fed's just going to cut interest rates and everything's going to be great. Well, where's the history behind that? Mm-hmm. And it's even worse now because they have inflation as a big problem that they're 4 years above their asinine 2% target, as I'm fond of saying. So they can't proactively cut interest rates. They're going to act ex post. They're going to wait for the unemployment rate to spike. They're going to reluctantly and with reticence start cutting rates. It's going to be too little too late, as it always is. And the market is going to have a 30, 40, 50% correction. That's my projection.
Okay. So I'm going to put you on the spot then. So you're bearish now.
I am not at this moment net short in the portfolio, but talk to me on Wednesday evening or Thursday morning when we get more data about Trump's tariffs plans. I mean, right now, nobody has any idea. You know, again, this is not political. I'm a libertarian. I'm not a Republican, and I'm certainly not a Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. So,
you're Trump, with good people.
You're with my people.
So we had reciprocal tariffs, and then we were told they weren't going to be reciprocal, and then we were going to told they were going to be reciprocal, and then yesterday we're told they are going to be reciprocal, and then as of like a half an hour ago, they're not going to be completely reciprocal. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't have any idea, and I'm not sure Trump has any idea. But we're going to know we're going to know a little bit more. That doesn't mean it can't change.
Okay.
I'm sure whatever happens on Wednesday evening is fungible. It's going to be malleable and ductile. So yeah. I don't really have much clarity, but we'll have a little bit more clarity. But I'm waiting for what I am waiting for in my model is not, I don't have tariffs in my model. What I have is financial conditions and credit spreads and the copper gold ratio and the level of the real Fed funds rate and liquidity metrics. So those are all the things in my 20-point model, which is looking at the second derivative of inflation in the context of growth, economic growth. And we are getting very close to the point where I am going to become neutral and then possibly even net short in the portfolio. Don't forget, you don't have to be net short to make money. Shorting the market is very difficult, and you shouldn't short the market and go to sleep. That's for sure. That's not going to work. But if you have very little equity exposure and you have the right bonds in your portfolio, you could still make money in a chaotic disaster in the economy. So,
yeah, that reminds me. I mean, I was in the market in 2007 and we went to cash and gold for the most part. And we just bought the short end of the bond yields. I mean, I think that's what you're alluding to. And we just sat, parked money there.
Short end of the treasuries,
yes.
So we thought that not high yield, not corporate.
No.
Private equity or any other.
No munis. We just didn't know what was going to happen. So,
but let me get back to real quick. Let's talk about the tariffs. Obviously, that would be a negative on the economy, but we don't really know what's going to happen, though.
But I guess my question, and maybe you already answered it. It's hard to project because we really don't know what to expect.
There's going to be some tariffs. Tariffs are taxes.
Right.
And somebody pays those taxes. And you know, it could be some of it will be on the margins of U.S. of importers. U.S. Mm-hmm. corporations may reduce their margin. Now, Andy, how do you get 15% earnings growth? Now it's just 11. But how do you get any earnings growth at all when the U.S. economy is shrinking? If you look at the Atlanta Fed's latest projection, it's -2.8. So if the economy is shrinking in real terms and in nominal terms, it's barely growing at all, if at all, and margins are compressing, you tell me how we can get 11% earnings growth. It just can't happen. So the risk reward ratio is to own short-term treasuries. I've sprinkled a little bit of duration in there, but it's not that long. It's just a little bit off of 2 years. I wouldn't go hog wild as of right now in duration in the coupons because you're gonna have a huge, that window is going to be very short-lived in my opinion, because on the other end of this recession, depression, freezing of the repo market and the credit markets, you're going to see the Fed go to zero, go back to QE. Maybe there's another form of helicopter money. Deficits are going to jump to $5-6 trillion per annum. and there's going to be more debt monetization ever before. The Fed's balance sheet's going to skyrocket into the double digits from 6.7 back to 9, maybe to $12 trillion, maybe even higher. And in that scenario, and inflation is going to be going to double digits, back to double digits again. In that scenario, do you really want to be long a 20-year
trade? No.
I don't.
Yeah. No, I would not want to be long that.
Let's talk real quick about gold here. Is gold sniffing all of this out? It's been just ripping. It's been ripping for 25 years, really. Not ripping, but it's been... I saw a chart the other day. I want to say it's outperformed the S&P for the last 20
years. It did. There's no doubt about it. It's vastly outperformed. It's not even close. Even with dividends, it's outperformed the S&P by another.
That's nuts.
It hasn't been linear. I mean, the 2012 to 2016 was horrible for gold, but gold is sniffing out the falling real interest rates. So the Fed. And this is the punchline. I mean, I laughed about it so much a few weeks ago in the last press conference. The Fed says that they're going to get back to their target of 2% inflation in 2027, which would mean it would be 6 years that they have been, 6 years that they've missed their inflation target to the ups, you know, to the north, to the upside, and yet they're still in a rate cutting cycle. Now, just empty your mind of everything else. You don't know anything else about anything. If I told you that the Fed has missed their inflation target for the past 4 years, and they project they won't get back to it until 2027, so it's another 2 years. If I said they were going to be missing their target for 6 years, would you guess they'd be in a cutting cycle or a hiking cycle?
I would guess they'd be in a hiking cycle.
Right. Wouldn't they be? Wouldn't the Fed, and then here's the funny part. Here's another punchline. The Fed, and Powell always says in his FOMC press conferences, he says, everything we do is in the service of the American people. Well, I came across a stat today that for the first time in history, the top 1% of earners have more wealth than the entire American middle class. So the quintiles between, if you're above 20% but below 80%, you're in the American middle class, you have less worth than the top 1% of earners. Now, does that happen in a fully free-functioning capitalist system? No, it does not. No, it does not. Mr. Powell, you're not in the service of the American people. You're not even in the service of keeping inflation at 2%. You are in the service of making sure bank assets never go down in value so banks don't go insolvent and bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you create tremendous amount of reserves, which are used to buy bonds, which makes the treasury solvent as well, keeps interest rates low. Your balance sheet used to be just a few hundred billion dollars not too long ago, Mr. Powell. Now it's gone to over $9 trillion. You've reduced it to 6.7, but you go, oh, that's enough. We don't want to get back down. And you know, $4 trillion, no. We're going to stay around $6.7 trillion. And then we're going to go much higher from here. And what's on that balance sheet, Andy? As you know, it's mostly treasuries. So if the Fed is an ignorant, automatic buyer of treasuries, guess what happens, right? The price goes higher and the yields go lower. That helps the treasury finance wars and profligate spending. That's what the Fed does. It also manages to buy mortgage-backed securities and make sure that the American people who they are in service to can't afford a house any longer. So it's funny because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I don't know. I'm not really... Hardly. I mean, I am a contributor to Newsmax. They threw me off of every major media outlet. But what I just said to you is sad and true. I don't think there's anybody who can debate that honestly and be intellectually honest and say, wait a second, the middle class of America is doing great. No, they're not. Oh, well, people can afford houses. No, home affordability is the lowest it's ever been. Well, how did that happen? Was it because lumber prices went too high? No, it's because you put trillions of dollars in mortgage-backed securities. You were buying mortgage-backed securities, Mr. Powell, in the spring of 2022, years after the pandemic broke out. So they're in the business of wiping out the American middle class, and they've done a great job at it.
Yeah. They've done a great job at it. And I'm with you, everything that you just said. I couldn't have said it better. But go back to gold real quick, and we'll end on this. Do you see gold correcting significantly in this, if we have this liquidity crisis here? Because it seems money's flowing to gold. And on the back of that, the equities are finally catching a bid after years of people not caring. Do you think that will last?
Well, if we do enter a bona fide liquidity crisis, people sell what they can to get cash. And gold is one of those things. It will be a short-lived correction if that happens. It's very possible to happen.
Sure.
It happened in 2008. I don't see why it wouldn't happen again. But then after that, for the next few years, gold just skyrocketed.
Just ripped.
And I don't, it's the main function behind the purchase of gold is falling real interest rates. But there's other things going on too. It's first of all, the idea that cryptocurrencies are a ballast to equities or their digital gold is complete BS. It's just, they're just not. I mean, Bitcoin has lost more in value than stocks while gold is rising, because gold is money and Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency is not money, because blockchains, although very useful, are not unlimited and not rare in nature. AU is rare in nature and virtually indestructible. So that's why, and very, very beautiful, by the way, too. That's why it's money. It's portable. It's a store of value. It's a unit of account. So Bitcoin is a reflection of the liquidity in the market. So when stocks do well, Bitcoin can tend to do well. And when stocks do poorly, Bitcoin will do poorly. But gold will also do poorly in a liquidity crisis. But I can assure you, in a liquidity crisis, Bitcoin will crater. Absolutely crater.
No, that's a great answer. Actually, that Bitcoin, I would say, is a derivative, I guess, to paraphrase what you just said, of liquidity. There's too much money sloshing around. Michael Pinto.
That's why things like Fartcoin could.
Right.
I have people telling me, yeah, you should buy the Dogecoin, the Melania coin, the Trump coin, the Fartcoin. All these things dilute the actual value of a coin. It's not really a coin. You know, they showed pictures of this coin. It's what Bitcoin is just, you know, electronic letters and numbers. There's nothing rare about electronic letters and numbers. It's rare in that ecosystem, but there's unlimited ecosystems you create. So it's just mostly nonsense, in my opinion. Like I said, private blockchains are very useful, and there might even be some public blockchains that are useful, but they will never supplant gold as money. Never.
100% agree. Michael Pinto, Pinto Portfolio Strategies. I said off camera and I said on camera last time we talked, if there was somebody managing my money and I do it myself, it would be you. So I mean that with the highest amount of respect and admiration, but tell people how to find you. If they like your work and they like what we're talking about, how do they do that?
So the website is pentoport.com. There's a podcast available there called the Midweek Reality Check. It's $50 a year with a 5-week free trial. I give you my 36,000 foot view of what's going on in the markets and some objective analysis that's actually beneficial for you. And if you are qualified for the portfolio, it's a long short strategy, and you have $100,000 to invest and you're a U.S. citizen, I will manage your money personally in the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. Please contact me if you are interested.
I'll put all of this in the show notes in the YouTube channel, as well as the Apple and Spotify podcast. Michael, great seeing you, and looking forward to having you on again.
Thank you, Andy.
Take care.